We've been looking at this week, since Tuesday, we've been looking at how the Bible itself actually explains itself and how the Bible builds upon itself, how the Bible strengthens and supports itself. And what I've been trying to show you from that is by looking at an example. Because the point I want you to see is, if there's something you're reading in the Word of God and you come to a place where you just don't understand it, it's easy for us to say, I don't get that, and so we just close the Bible and say, you know, I just don't understand the Bible. Well, the first thing that's important for you to realize, this is one of the first things I always like to emphasize, because I believe this wholeheartedly. It doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to have gone to seminary. You don't have to have, you know, spent years in training. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you love Him and you've given your heart to Him, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And because you've given yourself to Jesus Christ, you belong to Him. He wants you to understand the Word of God. In fact, the Word makes that clear. It's not a mystery to us. It's a mystery to the world, but it's not a mystery to us that we have understanding. He wants you to understand the Word, His promises, and all that He has laid out. He wants you to understand it. So when you come to those times when you're reading the Word and you just don't get it, and you feel like closing the Bible and saying, it doesn't make any sense to me. Since He wants you to understand the Word of God, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe this. Every single person, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, because He wants you to know the Word of God, He will reveal truth and revelation and Himself to you every time you open the Word. Now, because we have a history sometimes where we feel like, well, you know, I've read the Word before and it never makes sense to me, so I just don't think it's going to make sense to me this time. That's often the way we enter into time in the Word. Let's do it differently. The next time you open up the Word of God, before you open it up, just say a quick prayer and say, thank you, Jesus, that this is your revelation to me, that you want me to know you, that you have revealed yourself in this world, in this Word, and I will understand it. And just say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing to my understanding, for speaking to me, for bringing clarity and understanding of the Word to my mind. And the Holy Spirit will show you things you've never seen before. Just take a few moments and pray before you open up the Word of God and see what He does. But here's the second thing, and here's the point that I've been trying to look at all week long. The Bible does build upon itself. And so if there's a part of the Word that you're reading and you don't quite understand it, well, there's things that we have tools that we can utilize, because the Bible will always expound upon or give clarification to the Bible. The more time that I spend in the Word of God, the more that I understand it. The more time that I spend in the Word of God, as I understand something today, that understanding of something today is going to help me understand something else tomorrow. And then exponentially, it builds upon itself. And I understand the premises. I understand. There's times that because I understand something already, that when I'm reading something today with the understanding that I already have, it makes clarification. It makes sense to me. So the more you spend time in the Word, the more you understand it. Now, I realize if you haven't spent much time in the Word and you haven't spent much time understanding, that seems like, well, that's a long process. Well, it's a great process. It is a thrilling process, so enjoy the time, enjoy the process. But I realize you can't go from point A to point Q. you've got to take the steps. But just because you're at point A, B, or C, and you don't really have the depth of knowledge of the Word of God, doesn't mean you can't understand the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will show and reveal truths to you. But we also have these tools. And what I've been referring to is a lot of Bibles have references. You know, I like the ones that have the sender references. That's just easier for me. But, you know, sometimes they have them at the bottom, whatever the case might be. I like Bibles that have no commentary whatsoever. I just want to see where the references are. Because as you're reading, and this is what we've been looking at for the last couple of days, as you're reading something, if you get to a place you don't understand it, those references will take you to other places in the Bible that talk about that verse or talk about that concept that was spoken of in that verse. And it will give you one, two, three, sometimes even as many as five or six different references. And so you can go to those references. And as you go to those references, you can see the similarity between what you just read and what you're reading now. But it always adds another element, something else, to further your understanding. And then you can look, and that verse is also going to have references. And you can just build upon that, and you get a fuller understanding of the Word of God. There's a great understanding, as I said a few minutes ago, that comes from just the time spent, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You build upon that knowledge. But even if you're at point A, and today's the first time you're a believer and you start to look at the Bible, you can still, A, get revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, but B, you can use the tools that we have, like this center reference, and use the Word to help you understand the Word. And the example we've been looking at all week long is from Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And I've been looking at that because I want us to see that that's a great encouraging verse. Yay, God is saying that we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be dismayed. He's with us no matter where we go. That we are supposed to and can be strong and we can be courageous. And when we read that, we want to be that. And we read that and we see that God said he commanded us to be that. So we know that he wouldn't command us to do something that would be impossible for us to do. We can do it in his strength. But then it leads us with the question, and this is the question we're often left with. We feel good, but we wonder, how do we do that? How do we get to that place? And this is where I wanted to show you how the Bible builds upon and supports the Bible. The Word of God builds upon the Word and supports the Word. And you can see those threads throughout the Bible. So we looked and we saw that, oh, hey, look, there's a center reference here that takes us, for a better understanding, that takes us to Psalm 27, verse number 1. And that said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So we can see the similarities that are there, but we get another point built upon. Because strength of my life, saying that God is the strength of my life, if you read that in the Amplified, it says that God is my refuge and my stronghold. So now we've learned something new. How do we get to that place? If God commanded us in Joshua 1:9, to be bold and to be courageous, to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or not be dismayed. That's the life that I want to live. And if he told me to do it, then I can do it, but I need to figure out how. Here's point number one. God is saying, because we use this reference, we looked at another verse that speaks about that same truth but adds a little more to it, and we learned that God is my strength, my refuge, my stronghold. And so 2 days ago we learned, okay, so point number one on how I get to the place of being strong and being courageous, not being fearful, not being dismayed. Point number one is I must dwell. I have to put myself. I make God my refuge rather than making my friends, rather than making people my refuge. And it's good to have people to strengthen us, but that has to be secondary. The first primary thing is I need to make God my refuge. I shouldn't go to someone else first to get strength and refuge and encouragement from them. I need to go to God first. I need to make him my refuge. Refuge is a place that I seal myself in. I'm secure. I'm safe. That's where I need to be with God, secure and safe in him. And I gave you an example of that a couple of days ago. But then yesterday we looked and we saw that, oh, hey, look, from Psalm 27, verse number 1, there's some references there. That takes us down to Psalm 27. We go down to verse number 14. It says, "Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage." Again, we can hear the similarities of, you can see the thread. You know, this ties to what we just read from Psalm 27, verse 1. And it also ties to the original verse we were looking at from Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. So it says, "Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord." And we saw yesterday that, oh, hey, look at that. That's God saying twice in one. That's a pretty good exclamation point. Twice in that one verse, he says, "Wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, upon the Lord." And wait means to wait in faith. So it's wait in faith upon the Lord. So that was the second point that we learned. The first point is I need to make God my refuge. I need to dwell in him. I need to make him the priority. He's where I go for comfort, peace, direction, strength. If I make him my refuge and he's my security, I'll be secure. He'll take care of me, but I'll also get just the benefit of the human relationships that he gives us. But now we also saw that here we're supposed to wait upon the Lord, wait in faith upon the Lord. So we saw that yesterday. So there's two points. Wait in faith and make him your refuge. We're answering the question of how is it then that I follow that command that God gave me in Joshua 1:9. I follow that command to be strong and to be courageous, to not be afraid, to not be dismayed. We've seen two points on how we can do that. Point number one, make him your refuge. Point number two, wait in faith for the Lord. So now we look at Psalm 27, verse number 14, and we see there's a reference there that takes us back just two psalms, Psalm 25. I'm going to read Psalm 25, but I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Nope, I'll read it from New King James. New King James says this, Psalm 25, verses 3 through 5. "Indeed, let no one who waits..." And again, waits means waits in faith. "Let no one who waits in faith on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long. And again, that's waiting in faith. So here's the next point that we see. If we're trying to answer that question from the original verse that we were looking at, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9, we get another point, another answer, another direction, another way that we can actually see how is it that we do. If we didn't understand how we follow that command, this is another point showing us how we can live that, how we can experience that, how we can actually see that come to pass in our lives. So let's read that again. Indeed, let no one who waits in faith upon the Lord, on you be ashamed. So if I'm willing to be patient and just be quiet and be with him and in faith trust him, if I'm willing to be patient, that's a hard thing for most of us in this culture to do. How long can you go without having some kind of noise in the background? How long can you go without having the TV on? How long can you go without having the radio on? How long can you go without having, you know, your music from whatever source you're listening to it? How long can you go without having something, watching a DVD, playing a video game? I mean, we're very used to having all kinds of noise around us. How long can you go with a quiet? I know yesterday there was some things taking place at my church, so I was trying to work on the message for Sunday, and I couldn't go to my church. So I went to a Panera, and I'm used to, you know, studying and working and just being quiet and just hearing from him and having quiet. And I can sit in the quiet for hours on end. Well, I went to Panera to do some work yesterday, and first of all, Paneras tend to be loud anyway, but I could use the Wi-Fi, so that was helpful. But it was loud, it was noisy, it was hard to concentrate. And then I also decided to choose a Panera's that was doing some construction outside and some construction inside. So I had lots of machinery noises, high whining pitch sounds from some kind of machinery. I have no idea what it was. But you know, I was watching everybody else around me, and it was kind of hard for me to concentrate. But everybody else was going on with their conversations. Everybody else was undisturbed by it. I'm sure they were disturbed to some level. But we're so used to having noises. We're so used to having things just fill our ears that it's difficult for us to wait quietly upon the Lord. Because here's the reality. If I'm trying to hear from the Lord, I'm not going to hear from the Lord if I'm listening to sports radio in the car. I know. I've tried. It's not going to happen. If I'm trying to hear from the Lord, I'm not going to hear from the Lord if I'm listening to music or if I'm watching TV. It's just not going to happen because my attention is on other things. For me to hear from the Lord, I have to be quiet. I have to wait in quietness. And that's an uncomfortable thing for most of us. Most of us are uncomfortable. If you're ever sitting and talking with someone, now aside from your spouse, if you're sitting and talking with someone and there's those awkward moments where all of a sudden there's no conversation, that really shouldn't have to be an awkward moment. But we come to the place in our culture where there always has to be conversation. There always has to be noise. You can't have, there is no quiet. Quiet is bad. Quiet is something we avoid. Quiet is something that makes us uncomfortable. If we're with somebody and it's quiet, we get uncomfortable and we try to make conversation. We try to fill the void with conversation. All of that is totally contrary to what it takes to be able to hear the Lord. We're instructed to wait upon the Lord. Wait in faith upon the Lord. You know, God will show us and direct us exactly how we live our lives, what we should do today. He'll give us words of comfort. He'll give us words of peace. If I'm praying and I'm spending time quietly with God and I'm saying, God, look, I just read your verse and I believe what you said in Joshua 1:9. I believe you've commanded me to be strong, but I don't feel strong. And I believe you've commanded me to be of good courage, but I've never felt courageous in my life. I know that your verse says that I am not to be afraid or dismayed, for you are with me no matter where I go. I believe that, but I don't feel it. I believe it, but I don't know how to achieve it and how to accomplish it in my life. How do I do that? God, how do I do that? You can ask God that question, but if you ask him that question and then turn on the TV and just wait for God to talk to you while you're watching the news or, you know, whatever you watch on TV or you turn on the radio or you pick up your phone and call someone so you can just have a conversation because we're uncomfortable in quiet times, we're not going to hear the Lord. You know, we know from the Bible that his is that still small voice. You know, Elijah had to hear that still small voice of God. It wasn't in all the big things. It wasn't in the drama. It wasn't in the noise. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It was in the still small voice. And the only way we get to know the still small voice is if we train ourselves to be quiet and listen. So if my question today was, God, how is it that I can be bold, I can be courageous, I can be strong, I cannot be fearful, and I won't give myself to dismay? How is it I can do that? How do I do that? If I'm quiet and will listen for him and to him, he'll show me. He'll teach me. He'll speak to me. He'll speak words into my very soul that encourage me and strengthen me today. He will speak those things into me that the strength, the courage that is already there because he dwells within me, if I will wait upon him, that which is already in me will come to the surface. If I'm asking God, how do I be strong? How do I be courageous? I don't feel those things. Well, those are qualities you already have invested in you because he is in you. He dwells within you. Those things are already in you. So if I'm quiet and I wait on him and just listen to him and am with him in faith, those qualities of strength, of courage that are already in me, are going to surface, are going to manifest, and I will experience those things that are already in me. Indeed, let no one who waits upon you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. The way that I get the Lord to teach me and to show me is by being quiet and being with him. Teach me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. So now we've gotten three things. Just by looking at the center references, we've gone to three extra verses and seen three additional points that answer the question that was unanswerable when we just read the one verse. I want you to be encouraged today of the power of the Word of God in your life, but I also want you to be encouraged. I want to challenge you to read the Word of God today and read it with a sense of expectation that you're going to learn from Him. And here's the thing. When you read the Word, if you don't understand it, go to other verses. Let it build up. But then, that's the big point we learned today. Wait in faith upon the Lord. We're taught that quiet is something that's uncomfortable. Quiet is something that is essential for you and I in our relationship with Jesus Christ, to hear him as he teaches us, to hear him as he speaks to us, and to hear him and to be with him. And as we hear him and are with him, that which is already invested in us, which we didn't feel, but it's already in there, it comes to the surface.